Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. 2011 and 2012 were in succession the most active and among the most costly years in U.S. history for natural disasters. At the same time that the disaster patterns are intensifying, the nation's lead emergency response agency, FEMA, like most of the government, faces an ever-shrinking budget reality. This is unlikely to change, even with more and further contraction of the resource base, challenging FEMA's ability to deliver effectively on its mission. Given these challenges, it is critical that agency leaders properly align mission support functions such as finance, technology, acquisition, and workforce management with mission delivery. Doing this involves identifying opportunities to consolidate or reorient functions in a manner that can deliver greater value with fewer resources. What are the strategic priorities of FEMA's Mission Support Bureau? How is FEMA's Mission Support Bureau providing the support and tools necessary to ensure that FEMA meets its mission? And what is FEMA doing to improve its operational performance? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, David Robinson, Associate Administrator for FEMA's Mission Support Bureau. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Angela Carrington. So, David, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Angela, welcome, as always.
Thank you, Michael.
David, before we delve into specific initiatives, would you give us a brief overview of the mission and continuing evolution of the U.S. Federal Emergency Management Administration, FEMA, and its Mission Support Bureau?
Okay, sure. Actually, it's good to start with the vision of FEMA. The vision of FEMA is simply a prepared nation. And in achieving that vision, FEMA, its mission really is to support the citizens and first responders of the nation and work together with them to build and sustain and improve our abilities and capabilities to prepare for, to protect against, to respond to recover from, and to mitigate hazards, all kind of hazards. That mission has evolved over time. And in fact, this month, we're celebrating the 35th anniversary of FEMA. But the important thing is that we're trying to look at all types of hazards. It's not just most people think of FEMA, they think of weather disasters. But we're preparing for and responding to all kind of disasters. So man-made disasters as well. In the mission support space, which I'm primarily focused on inside FEMA, we actually become the infrastructural underpinning to FEMA. We're that support infrastructure on which everything else is built so that it can be prepared. Our vision in mission support is achieving business excellence for a prepared FEMA.
Given the critical mission of your organization, would you give us a sense of the scale of operation, both of your office and the agency you support? How are you organized? What's the size of your budget, full-time employees, and your geographical footprint?
So FEMA's budget is actually quite large. It's $13 billion when you count in all the flood insurance and disaster operations or disaster funds that we use. And FEMA has about 15,000 employees across the nation, including a reserve corps that is called up as needed when disasters happen and we need additional manpower. For mission support, our budget is quite small compared to the $13 billion. We've got about a $450 million budget of all types of appropriations. And I've got about 1,100 employees across the nation that are working mission support type activities in providing that support infrastructure. We're organized along relatively long functional lines. So, for example, the Chief Information Officers group, the Office of the Chief Administrative Officer, which handles a lot of administrative facilities, property type functions, the Chief Human Capital Officer, who handles the plethora of HR and employee relations type functions. We also have the Chief Security Officer handling personnel and physical security. And the Chief Procurement Officer, which handles the acquisition portfolio for FEMA. And then in addition, in mission support, it helped me to pull all this together. I've got what we call our Enterprise Business Unit, which is sort of our business office that's providing analytical support to each of these other offices so we don't have to duplicate effort. In addition, we've got our security office, and the security office provides personnel security, which is security clearances and making sure that people have the right clearances and the right badging and all that kind of access to FEMA facilities. But in addition, they also provide and work with the Department of Homeland Security on physical security. So they manage the guard contracts. They manage the physical, the technology that we use in lieu of humans to manage the physical footprint that we have across the nation. And in addition, they do operational security and fraud prevention. We have a fraud detection unit down in Florida that is helping us to detect and prevent fraud in FEMA. So two other areas that we have that are very important, and that's the procurement office, and that is sort of big A and little A. So in the procurement world, they're managing the contracts. They're helping the FEMA programs implement contracts, the purchase cards, that kind of thing. But in the what I call the big A acquisition, they are helping to provide acquisition oversight and program and project management to programs, particularly our major programs, which need those kinds of tools to be able to be managed well. And then finally, our chief information officer's office, the CIO and IT professionals that work there are providing all manner of things from networking to personal computing to systems architecture to making sure that IT security, which is a big deal, mm-hmm. is up to speed. They're providing technological solutions to problems. They manage a help desk that helps people both on the computing side as well as the telephone side, as we manage the telephone network as well. So those are the five major areas. And then I mentioned I've got a business office that helps pull all of this together.
So, David, can you talk a little bit about your specific responsibilities as Associate Administrator of the Mission Support Bureau? And you talked about kind of the areas under your purview, but how do your efforts really support FEMA's mission?
Sure. So if I could, I'll just give a couple of examples in each of those functional areas. So in the HR area, for example, we do all the HR processes from hiring people all the way through retirement of an employee. So all the things that affect an employee's career happen in our Chief Human Capital Office. And that includes some training, leadership. We have a big leadership development program that trains future leaders and emerging leaders and coordinates that kind of effort to get people into leadership roles as they progress through their career. In addition, the HR folks do performance management, so managing the performance standards that employees are held to and managing that process that helps us to evaluate folks' performance during the year. For the office of the Chief Administrative Office, it's a little bit of a lot of different things in that office. So, for example, they manage all of our real property and facilities, managing leases and the property that FEMA owns, both that we own and that we lease from GSA, for example. They have the personal property, and where we have millions and millions of individual items of personal property. We have 96% of all the property that's owned in the whole Department of Homeland Security inside FEMA. That's right, yeah. More than anybody. And then we also, that same office manages the vehicle fleet and the records management office. And that's a very important function to make sure that we're maintaining the records in appropriate ways and dealing with records as they age. Privacy office is also in there, as well as the safety office. So there's a whole lot of different things in that administrative office that's sort of a catch-all for a number of various very important functions.
So, David, given the expanse of your portfolio, your mission support portfolio, what are some of the top management challenges you face, and how have you sought to address them?
I think that we've had three really, really big challenges. And the first of those challenges is about affecting change. Most government organizations, I suspect most organizations, are riddled with stovepipes. And FEMA is no different in that way. We have our own set of stovepipes, just like everybody else. And so affecting change and finding ways to be more collaborative in our work so that it's we're doing FEMA work, not just mission support work, or FEMA work, not just response work. So I kind of look at it this way. As we're looking at change and how we affect change, I kind of use a boat analogy. And the analogy I like to use is that at FEMA, we're building a boat, a new boat. And we're going to invite everybody to be a part of building that boat. And then once we build that boat, we're going to invite everybody to get on. And then we're going to sail off toward the new direction that we're going, you know, a new collaborative, new responsiveness, new whatever we're trying to do. And invariably, some folks are going to be left on the dock. But when we arrive at that new destination, it's going to be with energized and enthusiastic employees who helped to build that and have affected that change themselves. And that's going to be helpful. That's what I'd say is change is challenge number one is making change stick. Challenge number two is of course, our decreasing resource environment. That's it's hitting every agency. It's hitting the whole government. There's certainly the cry from all sides to try and decrease the spending that we have in government. And we're trying – in answering that, we're trying to figure out how can we be innovative and creative and find ways to collaborate more so that we don't have to build things brand new every single time. And it also requires us to make hard decisions. You know, we have to make some trade-offs sometimes. Third challenge I'd say is that while all this is going on, while change is going on, while decreasing resources are being addressed, we're literally fixing the engine of the train while it's moving at high speed down the track while we're moving the tracks. That's a very hard thing for folks to get their arms around because we can't in disaster – we can't just stop and fix stuff until we're ready. The disaster isn't going to wait. So we have to be fixing while we go, which means that it's harder to do.
So, David, given your experience, what are the essential characteristics of an effective leader?
Great question. And you can read lots and lots of books about that, right? But I think that there's essentially six things that come to mind, six quick little things that come to mind for me. One is that I think a good leader needs to be well-rounded. And by that, I mean that if you have differing experiences in differing jobs and not just had the same job your whole career, but rather moved around and seen and done different things with different sets of people, I think that makes you a better leader. Second, I think you have to be a challenge seeker. That means having initiative. You have to seek out those challenges because they're not always going to present themselves to you. You have to go look for them and be willing to take them on. And then be a risk taker. Being a risk taker means that you have courage and that you are willing to stick your neck on the line for what you believe in or what you know is right. It also means that you have to be willing to speak truth to power. Mm-hmm. And most senior leaders are very much appreciate folks who are willing and able to do just that. Fourth, I think you have to be a communicator in all media. You have to be able to speak. You have to be able to write. You have to be able to be succinct and get your message across and understand your audience so that you're not necessarily diving down into all the details with the folks who really don't need to know or care. And then fifth, I'd say you have to be enthusiastic. If you don't bring your attitude as the leader is going to be reflected by every single one of your employees and the people around you. And you have to choose your attitude, and you can. And I think you have to be enthusiastic. And then finally, a lot of people say you need to be a team player, and I don't. I don't say that. I say you need to be a team builder. Because you can be a team player all day long and just wait for somebody to tell you what to do. But the leader has to be the builder of the team. And so I think, yes, you have to be a team player when it's appropriate. But as the leader, you need to be a team builder.
So, David, who has influenced your leadership style?
I'd say there were two people who've influenced my style the most or my leadership the most. And first is my father. And my father taught me that the two most important things are honor and courage. To him, honor without courage is worthless, and courage without honor is dangerous. Those stuck with me. And second, I've had a lot of mentors in my life. The one who is probably the most memorable professional mentor was Susan Grant, who was the former CFO of the Department of Energy. And she had a lot of things to say, and she used to say things like, be ready to lead no matter what. Be ready to lead no matter who you are. Be ready to lead. But she'd also say something like, hope is not a strategy. So I use that all the time because people come in and say, well, I hope to do this or I hope this or that. And I say, well, hope's not a strategy. What are you really going to do?
What are the strategic priorities of FEMA's Mission Support Bureau? We will ask David Robinson, Associate Administrator for FEMA's Mission Support Bureau, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.